welcome to a Tuesday morning. You have a table at the steakhouse, and thanks for being with us. I'm Steak, that's Sandra. Neither one of us were here yesterday. I don't have to tell you that. I know you listen every week. We know you're listening. We know you're keeping tabs on us. We know you know that I was out of town. You know all that stuff. And good to see you, Miss Sandy.
Likewise. How was your trip? This was the guy's trip. You've been golfing. I want to hear all about it. How did you do?
Well, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Last time I saw you, you lost your voice in the middle of the show.
I know, wasn't it?
Literally.
That yeah.
We had to take you off the air, which has only happened in my radio career a couple of times. And normally, it wasn't because someone was losing their voice. They were finding their tequila. And it was maybe we were in Vegas or somewhere. And I was
hilarious.
Like, we may need you to get off the radio. Anyways.
Oh, that was funny.
Well, you sound fine. You sound good.
It came back like Sunday-esque, but it took a few days,
huh?
Yeah, it's what going around, apparently, this little throat bug, and laryngitis is a part of it.
You get an antibiotic, just knocks it out?
No, I took silver spray, which usually works right away, and it did not. So
that you just had to not talk?
Yeah, she's like, an antibiotic's not going to work. It's not a viral or it's not a bacterial.
So you literally could not.
I watched way too much Braves in Florida State. I literally shut her down for a few days and didn't do a thing. Went into my room and just shut her down.
Really?
So, yeah.
Do you get depressed or down at all when you're like not active and you can't move around, or you do like
I enjoy it. As you know, loud and active as I am.
Did you just describe watching the Braves as enjoyable this weekend and against the Giants?
Is that why you immediately shifted to depressing? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they were in it for three games and then they weren't, right? The one-run games of the Braves,
I know. It was really something.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe.
Anyways, I was running around on Sea Island, never been before. So I was just
how many
scores.
Of you were there?
There were six of us.
That's so great.
We were celebrating a buddy of mine who had a big life event, a very successful life event. So he took away his best friends to celebrate his sale of his company. And I was like, I'm going to do a great job. I'm going to do the best job spending your money.
Congratulations.
That's what I told
him.
There's nobody that you can count on better than me to spend your money.
Yep.
So let's get to work
that.
No, we had a great time, trying to, get to play more golf. And we went to this golf academy in Sea Island and had great meals and did all these kind of fancy things. And I'd never been to that neck of the woods, South Georgia.
Yeah.
Never seen St. Simon, never been to Sea Island. Saw a bunch of listeners there. You know, there was a buddy of his that's from out of town, who was his business associate, and guys kept walking up to me and recognizing me at the golf course. And I'm not, trying to be, I mean, when you're on the air for 30 years in Atlanta, that happens. He's like, dude, why do all these people know
that's
you?
That's so cute, yeah.
What's going on? I was like, I'm on television in Atlanta. These people are from Atlanta.
Yes.
That's what's going on. But, so I had a lot of fun. If you follow me on Instagram, I went to a ridiculous barbecue place yesterday. Ridiculous. Southern Soul and St. Simon. If anybody's been, it was awesome right before we flew back. So loved that part of it. And it's just, it felt reminded me a little of Kiowa and just classic Southern architecture and these beautiful trees that hang over.
I'm
and great
shocked
golf
you
courses.
Haven't been there before. I really was because
yeah.
I know so many of our listeners are. That's their stop. That's where they go.
So anyways, that was.
How was the golf? You're kind of bearing that. Do you love golf now? Were you good? Were you better than
you thought?
No, I mean,
you can't love golf until I am more respectful. No, it's very frustrating. Very frustrating. And now there's too many things in my head because I went to a golf academy.
Oh, boy.
So I've been going to Bobby Jones to take lessons here.
Right.
But now
right.
I got a whole new group of people with a whole new thing.
Boy.
So I tried to implement that. And then by the back nine, I said, the best thing I can do right now, the most effective way to handle this is to start drinking transfusions. and that was my choice of, like, I got her in my head from yesterday. I got this guy in my head, Jason.
Wait,
from
her? Wait a minute. Was it a female instructor?
Well, we had two instructors and six of us.
Wow.
Right out of, yeah, so they'd go back and forth with us.
Okay.
So I just had too many voices in my head, which, mm-hmm. As a neurotic person, I always have a lot of voices in my head anyway. In this case, it was just golf people. So I just like, let's just get us the transfusions, right? Just
now, don't get offended when I'm about to say this. And I'm probably stupid because I've never had one. That transfusion looks like a girly drink.
Yeah.
It is purple and kind of frou-frou with a lot of stuff in it. Usually men just are like a beer or a vodka soda. And Bo is a bartender, right? So this transfusion.
Yeah, please set her.
This is a huge golf course drink.
Yes.
But it's also very refreshing. I saw we give away a lot of these on Sundays, a lot of transfusions on day games.
Go ahead. It's revival, it's hair of the dog, right?
Yeah, yeah.
From the night before.
Ginger ale, grape juice, vodka, a little lime.
You said
it's very simple, very refreshing drink.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, I don't mind you saying it, but it's not a girly drink. It's an awesome drink.
So do they make the drink for you on the golf course?
Well,
or do they put it, in a can? What's going on?
No, they're making it. Controversy was there was no cart girls at Sea Island, so we had everybody has to have a caddy. So you go out there with a caddy, and I was like, bro, instead of helping me by telling me I'm 140 away, I may want to use a 9, here's a better choice. Go rustle up some cocktails. And that's what I was like, that's the best thing you can do for us right
that's
now.
Hilarious.
And that guy.
That caddy was so happy.
He was on it. And then we were like, hey, you know we don't care. He's like, I can drink with you guys? I was like,
that's so good.
Hell yeah.
Good for you.
After having to watch my game.
Yeah.
So, no, transfusions are amazing.
Okay.
It might be my favorite thing about golfing now. So we'll do a thing on 10 o'clock about it. Hey, Wes Durham will join us in a little bit. We're going to talk about Falcons. I'll also talk about college baseball. And dare I say, it's the first 9 at 9 where we can say this in a long time.
It's a Christmas miracle. Braves win, snapping that 7-game skid. They put 7 on the Brewers, and Chris Sale was fabulous. 7 innings, 11 strikeouts, gave up 5 hits and a run through 103 pitches. He was magical. Home runs, yes, please. Matt Olson, Ronald Acuna, Eli White. It was awesome. They'll do it again today. Make it 2 in a row, please. Grant Holmes, Quinn Priester on the mound tonight at 7:40.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're way, way too talented to be one of the worst teams in baseball, and that's what you are. I mean, your record says who you are, one of the worst stretches I ever remember. The one-run game, just disaster that we've been in the middle of, the walk-offs that we've been in the middle of. I thought we were going to get out of it in San Francisco in game one after the debacle from the day game, and we blew that lead on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't win with Chris Sale, you ain't ever going to win. So, yeah, Chris Sale is absolutely spectacular. There's nothing about him different from last year. Would you agree, Bo? I mean, his stuff, the last 7-8 starts are same as Cy Young stuff, maybe
better.
Yeah,
he just needed a little warm weather. He's looking exactly the same guy he was. Did a little rough start. His last few outings have been fantastic.
Oh, he's been amazing.
Him on the mound last night. He was so in control of all things baseball. In fact, the Brewers manager, if you listen to him afterwards, Matt Murphy, he went on and on about Chris Sale for, I want to say, 3 minutes of like, you can't do anything against Chris Sale.
Well, I think it must
be
amazing to watch a guy that you've watched now 3 different iterations of his career in Chicago as a dominant starter for the White Sox. Kind of a mid-run with the Red Sox where he does win a World Series. And then now his last iteration probably in Atlanta. And to see him as good, I mean, he's better than he's ever been in his career. And they need it, and they need to win. Listen, it's real simple. They need to win 12 out of 14. I just was watching the Rays last night because the Red Sox had Roman Anthony, number one prospect in all of baseball, came up. The Devil Rays are 15-4 in their last 19. The Twins won 13 in a row at one point. My point is, we need to have one of those runs, right?
Yeah.
We need to do forget about the Dodgers and Padres. Like, if the Devil Rays are doing it and other teams, we can do this.
Yeah.
Get on a run, go 13-3, get back to five. I mean, like, you know, I'm seeing lesser teams do it, and we have to be able to do the same.
Totally agree. Falcons mandatory minicamp beginning today through Thursday. Yes, Kirk Cousins is supposed to be there. A lot of players were also there on Monday. Wes Durham will join us at 9:20. What to look for, and may we please not talk about Kirk Cousins the entire, goodness, off season again. NHL playoffs last night. What a beatdown. Panthers win in their home building, beat down the Oilers 6-1, pulled their goalie top early in the third, gave up 5 goals on 23 shots. Physicaled. They were out physicaled on every level. I had
yeah,
two
Edmonton,
TVs on. It
got
was
super
phenomenal.
Chippy. Edmonton got a bunch of guys in the box. The Florida Panthers are one of the great. You know, we did a whole show last Thursday. I did a show about franchises that have earned your trust and that you just know every year. Some of the Braves and Kirby. Mm-hmm. Like last 8 years, you said we're competing for a title. That's what it's like being a Florida Panther fan. I mean, they're just an incredible franchise. They had Brad Marchand during the season. He's been unbelievable for them. Edmonton, the greatest player in hockey, needs to step up in game 4. That, of course, is Connor McDavid.
Game 3, NBA Wednesday night. It's not till tomorrow night in Indianapolis as the ratings are released for this final stake. They are the lowest NBA finals in 27 years.
Wow.
27 years.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Yeah. You and I know enough about this stuff. You have the wrong markets. You don't have star power. The biggest star you have is just not out there enough in SGA. You know, it's not a rivalry. It's obscure teams. It's not it was close game in game 1 with a comeback, but it's not there. It's not where it needs to
be. Also note, Atlanta Dream hosting Indiana Fever tonight. No Caitlin. She is not going to play. I don't know if she's coming for the game or not, but they're playing that at the Gateway Center if you wanted to just go down and enjoy some basketball. But Caitlin officially out for tonight.
All right. That's the 9 at 9. Steak and Sandy back together again. Tomorrow, Rusty's in for Sandy. Then we get Sandy rest of the week. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Drew and Abe for filling in yesterday. When we come back, let's talk to Wes Durham. He's the voice of the Falcons. He called some regionals for college baseball. I am fascinated. There are a couple of stories in college baseball that are going to make Omaha a lot of fun. I'm bothering Wes on his vacation, but he said he'll chat about a number of those topics. We just think it'll be a nice way to start our show. I'm Steak, she's Sandra. It's the Steakhouse, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. So, you know, it's what happens. You haven't seen Sandy in a while. I was off the air just for a day, but I got a lot to talk about in our brain. The Steakhouse, the fastest 2 hours in radio, the highest rated sports talk radio show in town. Great listeners, great energy, fun time of year, and we got a lot to touch on. And then I didn't even know this guy's on vacation, and I didn't know where he was on vacation, and he agreed to come on. And then I find out he's in my neck of the woods up there in downtown Boston. No better time of year to be there than now. And he's also the voice of the Atlanta Falcons. He joins us, Wes Durham. Wes, thanks for coming on, buddy. What's the vacation look like? How long are you gone for?
Just a couple days. That's why I didn't. I mean, I'm not hassling you. I'm actually up here. Do you know why I'm really here? For a bucket list.
I love it. Are you doing the duck tour? Are you doing the historical tour? What are you doing? Yeah. You're in Boston, right?
Vicky and I, yeah, we came up here. Vicky and I decided on a whim a couple months ago we would do a couple nights in Boston, and we both love this area. You gave me the ultimate restaurant tip one time here, Santarpio's. I don't need any more.
Right. Oh, that's that East Boston pizza. I will say this. It's a little touristy, but the Freedom Trail is tremendous.
Yeah.
If you get a chance to take that tour, it's supposed to be awesome.
Okay. I'm going to be 60 in January, Steak. I've never been to Fenway Park, and I'm going tonight.
Oh, wow. Awesome. That's the headline. Woo! That is the headline. This is one of the esteemed voices in America. His first trip ever to Fenway. You're not sitting up on the monster. Who got you your tickets? Where'd you go get tickies?
Bought them online.
Look at you, just like an average guy. See, Sandra says.
Ricky and I are going to sit. We're going to sit somewhere in the neighborhood behind home plate because I hear those are really good seats. And
yeah, you're going to see the number one prospect in baseball tonight.
I can't wait.
Roman Anthony.
Roman Anthony got the call up last night and played in the game. They lost last night to the Rays, but we got here last night.
I love it.
Going to walk to the ballpark from here at Copley Square and enjoy the rest of the evening.
You got a cool wife. Vicky is. Awesome. He's kind of cool, but he's not as cool as his wife. We know
she's cool.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, Sandy. Sandy's fast friends. Vicky's got a lot of friends. Sandy be on that list.
Yeah,
sure.
Vicky's awesome.
Hey, a lot of quick things to touch on. I think that the College World Series, the fact that, is that right, Sandra? 8 brand new teams.
That weren't there last year.
That weren't there last year.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty remarkable.
It's never happened before. And how one repeat team from year to year.
You know, as we watch football and go, like, it's just not a fair playing field to be in college baseball and not only see Murray State and Coastal Carolina, but 8 new teams in Omaha.
So good.
How cool is that, Wes?
Well, I think it's great, and it's one of the things I kind of posed this morning on Twitter is, like, you know, does this kind of change your mind about what we're talking about all the time with the core sports of certainly men's and women's basketball and football? And you got to remember, Coastal Carolina won the national championship 9 years ago. Gary Gilmore was the coach back then. Guy did a phenomenal job, Hall of Fame career. And they support baseball in a way that only really kind of like the top power schools in the country do. Coastal does. And I think that has to do with Joe Moglia, you know, being their AD at times and still a big influence in their campus. But I would take Murray State as kind of the, you know, that can show you the old fashioned way still works. I would also throw in there too, I think Oregon State.
Yeah.
You know, for all the trials and tribulations of Oregon State and Washington State, especially with the realignment and the landscape and everything else, you know, for that program to be back where it was a decade and change ago, winning national championships at the College World Series, I think that's quite a statement. Louisville, it's a bounce back for Dan McDonald. He's had did not have a great regular season, had some injuries. They fought through them. At UCLA, they've got financial problems. They don't talk about them very much. Massive debt in their athletic department. Their baseball program is the best offensive team in the country. I think Arkansas is maybe the best team in Omaha. I'm sure a lot of people would be counter to that, but I think Arkansas is a really, really good, talented baseball team. I think LSU is really good, and I think it's going to be great drama. Arizona upsetting Carolina in Chapel Hill. Carolina picked a bad weekend to have bad pitching, and I think it's going to be terrific. And the event itself, having been there one time with Georgia Tech 20-odd years ago, at the old ballpark, let alone the new place downtown, I would tell you this. If you're a college fan or you're a fan of sports, period, and you want to go to, like, the top 10 events in the country, everybody should go to Omaha one time. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal experience.
What's the best part about it?
Oh, I think at the old Rosenblatt Stadium, it was the neighborhood tailgating. I mean, the parking lot in left field of old Johnny Rosenblatt Stadium had all the RVs and everything you would see at any kind of major college football game. But now the walkability of everybody to stay in their hotels and just stay downtown around the market in Omaha, and the facility at what they call the Chuck, Charles Schwab Field, is just tremendous. Yeah. And the real feel of the neighborhood is gone, but kind of like the mixed use that we have here in Atlanta with Truist Park is alive and well, really, in Omaha. I think the restaurants embrace it. The community's done a phenomenal job with the steak and tender. I mean, it is just unbelievable how good the event is in Omaha. It's so hard to believe that 15 years ago they were talking about maybe moving it to some other city.
Wow.
Given how good it is for for Omaha and certainly Eastern Nebraska.
They call it their mini Super Bowl that they put on yearly.
And they should.
Yeah.
They do. I mean, I'm in all honesty, it doesn't matter what 8 go, they're going to turn it out the right way.
Yeah.
And it's almost like they use the Big Ten tournament now, and the old Big 12 tournament when Nebraska was in the Big 12, they used the Big Ten tournament as kind of like the volunteer tune-up for the College World Series. And they treat those teams just like they do the College World Series teams. And if Nebraska plays in the Big Ten tournament, which they did this year, they end up with 17,000 people at the championship game.
Western.
Now, they're going to have, you know, they're going to start on Friday. I think it starts at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock Eastern time. It's going to be remarkable how many people are in the ballpark at 1 o'clock, I guess, on a Friday afternoon to watch Coastal and Arizona play.
Wes Durham with us on Sports Radio 92.9. I don't want to spend a ton on it. I don't understand it. I guess I'm not smart enough. But the rulings late last week, the NIL stuff.
Oh, the House settlement?
Yeah. Can you give me anything simple?
Cliff notes that dummies can understand. Please.
Yeah, like who does it help or hurt? What does it do? Well, what does it do or not do?
Best part, worst part.
Well, the best part is that seemingly everybody falls under a salary cap, if you want to call the settlement a salary cap. So what it does is it's a $20.5 million budget, shared revenue budget. And every school has to commit to the $20.5 million. And that's a bit of a jump. We could have a longer discussion about that. But for me, what it does is it puts in place guidelines. It puts in place some things that you can at least build some structure and governance around Steak and Sandra. I'm still not sure we're building a lot of structure and governance, which is my bigger problem.
Does that mean that Purdue has the same payroll cap as Ohio State out of the Big Ten?
In theory, it does. Now, here's the added part. Can Ohio State and Purdue go out and create another collective on the outside and still throw more money into it? Yes.
Yeah. And that's where Ohio State.
State and Texas and all these schools reportedly at football budgets over $35 million. Yeah, that can still happen.
And you have to prove that there's actual a service being rendered in some level.
Yeah.
They're going to police it, right?
The other thing I would add to you guys is that this College Sports Commission is trying to get more authenticity to what is actually happening from a contract situation. This is, you know, it's liable to become much more public, not the rumored, well, X is making this.
Right, right.
Quarterback Y is making that. We're now probably running closer to actual, you know, what those dollar figures are going to be for NIL and the fact that they have to be approved by the commission and things of that nature. To me, that's the part about this that we're working our way toward more professionalism than anything else.
It's all more positive. It's still going to take time, but anything that tries to rein it in a little bit in any level is a good thing. All right, we only got 2 minutes left. Are you of the notion that Kirk Cousins, where he sits today at mandatory, like now that the quarterbacks are out, you know, Aaron Rodgers was the last piece, might as well have the best quarterback room in the NFL and stop talking about it and let's just go to work because we have the best backup in the NFL and it doesn't look like anybody needs him as a starter.
Yeah, not right now at least. And if somebody goes down in August or somebody goes down in the preseason, then, you know, he'll be a name that'll surface quickly. I don't know. I don't expect him to do any kind of media involving the minicamp. Don't think you'll hear from him very much. Maybe once or twice if August, you know, when things develop in August. But it is what it is. And I think everybody at Flowery Branch has been fairly candid about, you know, what it is in terms of the football purpose of this. The contract is another issue. And there have been reports, and you guys, I'm sure, have talked about all this, all the reports saying what Atlanta would like in exchange. And I don't see any problem with it from a financial standpoint. If you're going to trade for him, here's what it's going to take. I totally understand that. And that's smart math on Terry Fontenot's part. You know, Michael Penix looked ready to go. And I think I'm excited about where he may go for a second year. I'm really excited to see kind of where the defense falls with Brick on this too, because I thought they did a terrific job with not just Walker and Pierce. I thought Xavier Watts was a complete steal, and I'm excited about Billy Baldwin and his versatility as well.
Anybody else coming back that it's put up or shut up or maybe takes the next step? Because we all know offense should be fine. We got two number ones, but is there anybody coming back that next step could be the difference in winning a division?
I think we're kidding ourselves if we don't watch Kyle Pitts from day one and say, okay, what's this going to be? Right? I mean, we've talked about it since he arrived here. There have been highs and there have been lows, probably more lows than highs, but what is this going to be in probably what is his most pivotal year as a pro football player?
Anybody defensive side, give me one name.
Oh, let's see. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens at the other corner spot. How does the corner spot work out opposite A.J. Terrell?
Yeah. All right.
I think if you're going to watch something once camp opens in August, and I don't know if they're going to bring the fans back in the numbers they did prior to with the expansion that's going on out there. We've all seen it. It's phenomenal what that facility's become, right?
Yeah.
But I would say this. If you're going to bring fans back, people want to watch the other side of A.J. Terrell.
All right,
what does that ultimately become, I think?
Have a great time at Fenway Park. I'd love to follow Wes on Twitter. I'm sure he'll have great stuff from that. Say hi to your lovely wife, and thanks for coming on.
Okay, guys. Take care. Have a great summer.
Always a pleasure. Wes Durham, touching on college baseball, a little NIL, and the Falcons. Mandatory camp opens up. It's Steak and Sandra. When we come back, can you deal with a bad baseball team all summer long? How does that feel? How does that make you feel? And can we turn it around? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Steak and Sandra, the fastest 2 hours in radio. Thanks so much for joining us. We kind of did our version of the tailgate, which is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors, right? We talked about eight brand new teams in the College World Series in Omaha, and then the NIL ruling, which I kind of was what I thought, which is they're going to set a cap on the payroll, but then you can pay above it with NIL, but you can't just make, you know, stuff up about athletes actually doing something they're not doing. Listen, it just starts to get some governors on, which is a completely out of control situation. And then there's the back pay thing, which I don't understand, which I don't think our listeners care that much about to talk about.
No, but I definitely am intrigued by it.
Yeah.
In terms of if I'm Brock Bowers, I'm going to go like, hey, wondering.
Name
I need to come get my money. Jordan Travis at Florida State. Pickaschool.com. And where's my money? And what I'm meant to this
money,
program. And how
do
they
divide
it up?
Who's entitled to what? It's a back pay or whatever you want to call it over a certain period where you
2016 through 2024, there's 2.8 billion with a B available.
Sounds exhausting.
It does.
To figure
and it's
that out.
Ridiculous. It's like the 60,000 feet above, what it looks like to me with the creation of this College Sports Commission, and now we have a new czar, Brian Cini, it kind of says that the NCAA, yeah, we're going to need you to not be existing anymore. It doesn't seem like they have a purpose when it comes to college sports.
I just think that the modern-day NIL, how it affects your team, matters. But for us to spend time when you turn your radio on Sports Talk Radio, you want us to entertain you. You want us to talk about things that are going on that are fun, relevant to Atlanta. What's the, you know, hot sports conversation? Like, the whole swirl around paying college athletes, what they get paid previously, going backward to figure that out, how this thing is managed. You know, if you're the college network on satellite radio, maybe you're going to spend, you know, time on it. I just think that, like, listen, we it's hard to even get your arms around. Rusty will be here tomorrow. How does it affect Georgia? How does it affect Georgia Tech? How does it affect the ACC? And how does it affect the balance of power? Like, that's really all that matters. Once the games start, we all know, is jacked up. College basketball, it's just awful. Awful how there's five kids from five different schools that play together for 1 year and then they all disperse again. Georgia going through that again. They have to rebuild their whole roster at Georgia. But everybody's having to do it. It's not good. St. John's and Patino this year had every guy on there was a portal guy, right? So yep. As much as I don't like what it does to sports, when the games are being played, people still care a lot about it. And that's what we're going to stick to for the most part. When this stuff is going to affect these local schools, then we're going to try to explain them to you best that we can. We're not that smart. So we're not that smart.
I find it a buzzkill.
Yeah, I agree.
I just want to know, what are you doing for the first game? Florida State, Alabama, am I going? Am I not going? I don't really care what they're making. I don't care.
Yeah, I care as it affects who can compete and who cannot, right? And what I'm hearing is Texas has more money than anybody else, Texas oil money. They got way more billionaires in Texas than in Alabama. That's going to affect the balance of power. So does that get that under control? And by the way, I saw that with Texas, and where did they end up, right? Georgia, same thing. They're up against it with Texas. I've heard off the record.
Listen, I don't care what tier you want to look at, Steak, or how you want to slice the pie. There's the haves and the have-nots.
Oh, of course.
And there's going to be the dirty dozen that is up there that can win it. And there, you can call it a collective. You can call it bags and money. It's a different animal. I don't care how they slice it.
But
that's
it wasn't any
on.
Different 15 years ago. So Ohio State, Alabama. Georgia's now in the mix. It was Tennessee,
Florida
Michigan,
State 15
Florida
years ago.
State.
Well, it was a couple of different candidates, but you're right.
I mean Florida State should be a have, should they not?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, anyway.
Yes. Yeah,
let's
so.
Get off of that, right?
All right.
Let's figure out.
You're going to bet the College World Series.
Right. Well, no, we're going to talk about College World Series, the tennis, The NBA Finals, the NHL. I got a little bit of tidbits on all that stuff. And we're going to make it entertaining. I told you I went to some crazy barbecue restaurant. We'll get into all that. But the Atlanta Braves, when I was on the air last, and I've been doing this for a long time, and this includes winning World Series. This includes winning, you know, the most dramatic games in Braves history. I have never seen more phone calls at this radio station around the Braves than working last Thursday, Friday was it, right? With Rusty.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday was the day game against mm-hmm. Arizona. Mm-hmm. Now, was that Rock?
I'll recall 10-4. They were up by 6 runs in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
And lost.
It was the 10-4 game. Now, they lost 3 in a row to San Fran. I think they were all one-run games. Were they all one-run games? I know we blew the lead in the ninth.
First two were, I think the last one was.
Yeah, all 3 of them, right, Bo? Five straight losses, all one-run games.
Crazy.
So, like, I've never seen more phone calls to this radio station about the Braves. And rightfully so. I mean, that homestand was a disaster, and then it ended in a fashion. So I don't even call rock bottom getting swept by San Francisco. I mean, the Giants are a pretty good team. You're playing out on the road there. You were in those games. But I've never seen anything like it. Now, last night, Chris Sale takes the mound. And, you know, law of averages. You have Ronald Acuna in your lineup. You have Matt Olson in your lineup. You have Austin Riley and Ozzie Albies in your lineup. You're going to, at some point, have an offensive explosion like you did 5 days earlier, which was the final game of the homestand. You had a 10-run game. Then last night you had a 7-run game, mm-hmm. right?
That's right.
So that's going to happen. It's not going to happen regularly. It's going to happen. So at a point, they're going to win a game. So Chris Sale ended the losing streak. And now instead of 10 games under 500, you're 9 games under 500. How different is this summer if we don't get back in the mix? And can you deal with a summer and having a bad baseball team? I mean, when I say deal with it, it's like, okay, the anger, you know, I mean, I guess you're going to scream about SNIT and AA and, you know, you're going to lament, how did we end up here? But at the end of the day, it's summertime in Atlanta, and, you know, what you do is turn on the TV at 7:15 and you watch your baseball team. And a lot of cities don't have what we've had. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be angry or upset. But the Braves, you know the names on the uniform. And now you may be thinking about how great a rookie year can Drake Baldwin have? When does Spencer Strider show his velo that he showed, or does it come back at all? Can Chris Sale match the season he had a year earlier? What guy do we need to think about moving in the offseason? Is this the last month of Brian Snicker's managerial career? I mean, those will all be conversations and things, but we will not be talking about getting in the playoffs and beating out the Phillies and the Mets and the Dodgers and the Cubs and any of those teams that are having great runs. Now, I'm not telling you that's – odds are that's closer to this summer than not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Odds are that's what's going to be happening. So, I don't know. It's a new thing for us, right? It's a new thing for Atlanta to deal with. We'll talk about it in a second, but let's have Snit talk about Chris Sale and how badly last night was needed for Atlanta.